You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. At the dawn of America, science was not just a passionate pursuit of knowledge. It became a bit of a patriotic hammer. Along with Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson was a chief promoter of American science. A new exhibit at the American Philosophical Society in Philadelphia details his dedication to finding examples of power and strength in nature to make a case for the might of his young nation. Peter Crimmins reports.
In 1781, just as colonial soldiers won the Battle of Yorktown, which would cinch their independence from the British, Thomas Jefferson took time away from the Revolutionary War to write notes on the state of Virginia. It's a catalog of the flora and fauna of his home state. He was the governor. In it, he made the case that the New World not only merited its own government, but its own scientists, too. It was the only book he would publish in his lifetime. The book was a reaction to a questionnaire drawn up by the French delegate in Philadelphia, François Marbois. At the time, the French and most of Europe did not believe America had any decent scientists, and that the study of the New World's new discoveries will be better left to the French. Curator Tara McGowan says Jefferson, like any good politician, rewrote those questions so he could give the answers he wanted.
The French had said that America had no geniuses. So he says, of course, we have a Washington, we have Benjamin Franklin, we have Rittenhouse. He's definitely moving beyond Virginia.
McGowan put an original copy of Notes on the State of Virginia in the new exhibition at the American Philosophical Society called Jefferson, Science and Exploration. The Philosophical Society is a throwback to when what we now call science was called natural philosophy. It was founded in 1743 by Benjamin Franklin to promote, quote, useful knowledge. Members were more involved with cataloging species and engineering a better fireplace than pondering the existence of the soul or the nature of self. In 1797, Jefferson was named president of the society, and he made sure that knowledge was not only useful, but politically effective. He had a bone to pick with the French scientist, the Count de Buffon, who believed that species could become extinct. It was a radical idea at the time.
I realize this is a pre-Darwin world, so most people did not believe in extinction. He believed that when species moved to America, where the climate was colder and wetter, that they actually degenerated and became smaller and weaker, which, of course, was a real affront to Jefferson, who wanted to prove just the opposite.
He was right, of course. And to show how strong America is, Jefferson sent a Montana moose to Buffon in Paris. But in terms of extinction, Jefferson was on the wrong side of science. Ultimately, it was Buffon who was closer to the truth with his concept of the degeneration of species.
Buffon's ideas did lead to the idea of extinction because things could degenerate to the point where they, you know, would die out. He was really going against the current and against the church at the time.
The problem with the idea of extinction was religion. God makes everything perfect, so it does not stand to reason that he could make anything that would go extinct. In fact, they wrote a song about it. In 1800, famed scientist and artist Charles Wilson Peale gave a series of lectures about natural history at the University of Pennsylvania, and he was accompanied by a song written by his son, Rembrandt Peale. It was called The Beauties of Creation.
Mark the beauties of creation.
The sheet music for that song is in the exhibition at the Philosophical Society. Here it was performed by the Pulse Singers. All of which brings us to the American mastodon. It's a large animal distantly related to the elephant, which Jefferson believed was a mammoth. Bones of a mastodon had been discovered in Kentucky, but Jefferson needed a living one to dispute the idea of extinction.
There was a sense that the further they pushed west, they might actually be able to find a mammoth still living.
This is the exhibition's other curator, Lynette Regaby.
That's part of what they're looking for with Lewis and Clark.
Jefferson was hungry for reports from the explorers, Lewis and Clark, about sightings of a mastodon or a mammoth. It didn't matter, as long as it was alive and bigger than anything they had in Europe.
The mammoth was wonderful for Jefferson's goals of proving that American nature was just as large and gargantuan and powerful as European nature.
And it was really important for them to think that this was a fierce creature, so they really pushed the idea of it being a carnivore until they could no longer.
Not only has the mastodon been extinct for 10,000 years, it was also an herbivore. It was never a predatory creature, but a peaceful vegetarian. Undaunted, Jefferson turned his attention to another ferocious creature discovered in the Americas. McGowan has a fossil of what appears to be an enormous claw.
This giant claw was found actually in Virginia and sent to Jefferson, and he was very excited because he thought it was probably from an American lion.
Upon further study, scientists found that that claw was not designed to retract like a cat, so it could not come from a lion.
Turned out to be a giant ground sloth.
Quite a letdown from a tiger to a sloth.
Big letdown, especially as you know, sloth had not a very good meaning at the time, being one of the deadly sins. So that was a big disappointment for him. But it shows how much fierceness, strength, and size was important in this debate between the New World and the Old.
Jefferson remained president of the Philosophical Society for 18 years while he was president of the United States, and he made it the main clearinghouse of scientific discovery in America. So all over the new nation, if you dug up something weird, you sent it to 5th and Chestnut Streets in Philadelphia to get your answers. For The Pulse, I'm Peter Crimmins.